Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Pottawatomie Sportsbook and Ridgetop.
Bauer's high drive, right field, back Carroll, he's admiring it. It's flying. Goodbye, Jake Bauers. And the Brewers take the lead in the seventh. A hanging curveball drilled into the seats in right. Team leading 16th of the year. Jake rakes the Brewers into a 2-1 lead.
And the bullpen makes it stand up. Brewers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks in the third game of the series, so they take the series, and it's on to St. Louis. Joined now by Dominic Catronio, host of Brewers Extra Innings. Morning, Dom.
Good morning, Vince.
What a stretch ahead for the Brewers. I mean, already we had a bunch of games in a row. We are not back home here until July 17th, so after the All-Star break, and now it's 7 games in 8 days. We've got a doubleheader tomorrow in St. Louis. How are the guys holding up?
Other way around, 8 games in 7 days.
Sorry,
I mean, doubleheader tomorrow.
Did I do my math wrong?
It got even harder. I know, in just the blink of an eye. So, the way that you look at this week, and I said it on my post game show yesterday, you ask anybody in baseball, this is already the hardest week to play baseball of the season. It's not August. It's not September. It is the week before the All-Star break, in the words of Pat Murphy, divided attention. And on top of that, the Brewers are playing it on, you know, expert difficulty with these 18 games in 17 days, with rain in the forecast, in hot and humid St. Louis, with a doubleheader, right? And with another injury to your starting rotation. So everything that's gone wrong for the Brewers, and yet as sort of, you know, in between their offense has been over their last 20 or so games, they're 12-7 over their last 19 games. So they have found a way to win these games. That's what makes great teams great.
Brandon Woodruff seems to be dealing with a dead arm again.
I don't even know what question to ask, right?
Man, I just don't feel good about this.
No, no one does, honestly. I think watching his reaction and listening to him post-game on Saturday, of understanding that, yes, I've dealt with this before, but the fact that it's already popped up just 3 starts back into his return from this the first time around is certainly alarming, and it's just another reminder that most pitchers don't come back from the surgery that he had in 2023. I mean, this is extremely rare and borderline a baseball miracle that he's even to throw a baseball 92 miles an hour at any point again after that shoulder capsule surgery. To now be throwing 73 mile an hour changeups is certainly a red flag and something to worry about. And Woody was so consistent in spring training with his messaging saying, all I care about is being available at the end of the year. And quite frankly, if I'm the Brewers, I'm shutting them down until the end of the year.
See,
I'm
in
saying,
September.
You know what? Let's make sure you're okay. Maybe give you a tune-up start the last 2 weeks of the season if they need it. Maybe somebody else steps up in the meantime. Maybe a trade acquisition comes in, whatever it may be. But for the sake of Woody and for the sake of knowing what you got, it might be time to just say, let's make sure you're ready for the end of the year.
How does he come back, Dom, and be so sharp? We've seen this movie before. When he's coming off the injury for a long time, he comes back, and he's amazing, but for a few games, and then his arm just sort of goes out on him.
That's the shine and the brilliance of Brandon Woodruff, right? He's somebody that has always been able to read swing, somebody who's always learned to use his control to his advantage. Yes, when he was throwing 96, 97, it was easier to do so. Now with 92, with cut, with ride, with the great changeup that he's always had, that he's been able to keep hitters off balance. I mean, you look at that, the last 2 innings of that game on Saturday, he threw, I believe the number was 12 out of his last 19 pitches were changeups, just because he knew, well, the fastball's not there. They're still sitting fastball. I'm just going to keep peppering changeups. And he was still really effective, as Pat Murphy talked about. It's like, that's what makes him so amazing. He's throwing 87, he's pitching naked, and he's still striking guys out. That's what makes Brandon Woodruff such a special arm and why they want to keep him around, to try to see what if they could just get one last ounce out of him.
As we get into July now, the trade winds will begin to blow again. Dom, is there anything different this year as far as the league is concerned? Will we, anticipate seeing anything sooner than later? Is there a possibility that there aren't as many or anything like that because of, I don't know, because the CBA at the end of the year or because so many teams are competing? Anything you're seeing tea leaves-wise?
The first thing I would say is the CBA probably has nothing to do with the trade deadline this year. I've seen some alarmist headlines on that. I don't buy it from people I've talked to. The second thing is it's going to be a slow developing trade deadline. I think it's going to be a procrastinator's paradise, meaning, you know, it's all going to be at the very last second possible because so many teams in the American League are so mediocre that they all think they're in the hunt. I mean, look at the Houston Astros. They've got hot out of nowhere. They're two games out of a wild card spot despite being under 500. The Tigers are stuck in between, given they have the two most valuable trade commodities in Tarek Skubal and Casey Mize. The biggest thing that I'm monitoring from this trade deadline is the lack of offense available. There is just not a lot of expiring deals. There's not a lot of talent that would be made available at a trade deadline from the offensive side of the ball. So that's something, you know, you're going to have to overpay if you're going to get offense of somebody that you desire. I'm excited because once these American League teams realize they're not that good and they can start, you know, sharing what they can give to the rest of the baseball world, us in the National League, that's when things are going to get spicy.
All right, Dom. Jacob Mizorowski and William Contreras are your Milwaukee Brewers All-Stars. Who got snubbed?
Bryce Serang, yep. The headline.
That's
bold,
an easy one.
A1, above the fold, everything about it. It should absolutely be an All-Star. He's a top 15 position player in baseball, regardless of position. And he's better than Luis Arraez. And he's definitely better than Ozzie Albies, and he's definitely better than Bryson Stott, who was the other guy in the phase two voting. You never know. Injury replacements happen all the time. But Bryce, you know, took it in stride this week. He was talking to Kurt Hogan, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, saying, hey, you know what? It doesn't impact me as a baseball player. I just got to keep playing better.
Dom Catronio live with us on Brewers 360 this morning. Thanks, my friend.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
That is terrible. And the injury replacement, that never feels like you were voted in. I mean, most of that's a popular... They've done better in making it less of just popularity contest. And
I don't know. If he gets an injury replacement, I'm sure he'd be fine with it.
Better than not, yeah. But 8:51 on Wisconsin's Morning News.